Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is your favorite podcast, Paranormal Watchtower, with myself, Brandon, and Ray. Say hi to Ray. We are diving deep into some Disney horror facts, or, well, we don't know if they're facts or not. We'll leave that up to you. But definitely interesting stories and some ghosts, all sorts of interesting activity going on down in the Disney world. Is it or is it not the happiest place on earth? Ray, what's your opinion?
I've never been there, so in my head, it's still magical.
It's still magical?
Yeah.
I've shady. Been there once.
It's shady, but it's magical.
I was there in 2009.
2009.
Yeah, and it cost a fortune when I was down there for that.
Did you have fun?
I actually did.
That's all it meant.
It was the first time I heard the song Party in the USA. My kids were dancing, and I'd never heard the song before. I thought it was cool.
It's hilarious.
Come to find out, you know, Hannah Montana, but could be worse.
Did you go to the one in Florida then?
Yeah, we went to Walt Disney World.
I don't know the difference.
Yeah, the one in California is Disneyland, and Florida is Walt Disney World.
Thank you.
So, yeah, my pleasure. So what did you dig up for tonight's podcast, sir?
What kinds of stuff? Like, I've always kind of thought Disney as a company was a little shady. I remember as a kid, like, seeing the subliminal messages they put into their movies.
Killing the mom all the time?
Yeah, that and the words. And I own an original copy, or my mom does, of The Little Mermaid with the male appendage on the front.
Oh, I don't know nothing about that.
You don't know what's about that?
No, what's going on with that?
Oh, man. Sometime take a look at the original cover for The Little Mermaid, and at the top of the castle, some artist who is about to get fired or got fired, I don't remember the story now, drew a man's appendage on it.
He drew a big pee-pee on the screen?
Yes, on the cover, like for the VHS tapes and stuff. Like, this went out to millions of kids.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Speaking of old Disney, I actually have a few horror stories. Not so much horror stories, but just a nightmare opening. When they opened back in 1955, I found out, and I'll stop me if you've heard this, but back in 1955, opening day, they called it Black Sunday. And because it was such a mess, the construction wasn't quite done yet. So let's see, they had, get this. There was a plumber's strike going on, and the Walt Disney had to choose for opening day to either have bathrooms or have water fountains. You know, us in Wisconsin, we call them bubblers.
He chose the bathrooms.
Yeah, he did. He chose the bathrooms. But the downside to that was, because he didn't have any bubblers or water fountains, that, and it was a really hot day, so people were like passing out and fainting because of the heat stroke, because they didn't have free water available. You know what I mean? I think now they charge you, well, back in 2009, it was $6 a bottle for a water.
For water?
Yeah, back in 2009. So, I mean, I don't know what they charge now, $12 probably?
Damn.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. It was almost like eating and drinking in Vegas. It was like same prices on the strip. But yeah, the opening day, they had double capacity what they were supposed to have.
I see.
Apparently Walt Disney did some sort of a TV promo that brought in way more people than he anticipated. He had people that were getting turned away at the gate because there was far too many. By the time they realized that, they had far too many people, and they started turning them away, apparently. And there was, did you hear about the guy in the ladder?
The guy in the ladder?
Yeah. Well, there was this guy who came up with this scheme. He's actually a genius, if you ask me. He started charging the crowd $5 a pop to sneak them over the fence with a ladder.
Oh, that's brilliant.
He had a ladder on each side, and I don't know how he didn't get busted by security. You know, but picture $5 a piece in 1955.
Right.
I mean, how much is that today? It's got to be like $30 a head today, you know?
But you got in free.
Yeah, for five. People wanted to get in. They were determined. I mean, they probably came from all over the country, you know, for extra $5. Yeah, get us in there. Let's see. Yeah, let's see. Oh, and the same day, the ride started breaking down because of all the weight. Because they didn't have the regulations, X amount of people per car. I think that's where they got that from. It's because the stuff was breaking down. So from day one, they were having problems. They had technical issues, of course, and the weight problem. They realized that they had to have weight restrictions. It was a complete nightmare. Opening day. That's day one. Day one.
Poor guy.
Right? And then get this story you're going to like this. And I mean, I know people that listen to this podcast and they're going to get a kick out of this one. I don't know if it was the first Easter. I think it was the first Easter Disney had something going on, a special event. What they did here was the plan. The plan was to have somebody dressed up as an Easter bunny flying in a helicopter. And it was going to be this magical thing for the kids. Easter Bunny was going to fly over in a helicopter and he was going to drop these flowers down onto the crowd in just mass quantities of flowers all over the park. Right. He was going to go a loop around the whole park because it's gigantic. I don't know if people know that, but it is freaking huge.
Sounds innocent enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to hear how it went?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So apparently the first problem they came across was, first of all, the helicopter was so damn loud. Okay.
What about the wind from it?
That's what I'm getting to next. I'm glad you brought that up. The wind from it was blowing dust and dirt into all the way down the streets like a sandstorm. And it was blowing into the stores. And so much force was coming just from these helicopters. And I don't know how many they had, but they have reports of it blowing out the pilot lights in the furnaces of these stores.
That's hilarious. I didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, how do they not know that a helicopter is going to throw some wind? But all sorts of things started happening with this. I laughed because I read a part where they said the helicopter wind was actually blowing up women's dresses because everybody was wearing dresses and suits and stuff for this. This was a special occasion. You know, it's not like today where people go out in their PJs to do stuff. You know, back then people dressed up.
They Marilyn Monroe'd 1,000 women.
That's exactly what happened. And that's only the start.
On Easter.
Yeah. On Easter. Oh. Everybody's dressed to the kilt or dressed to the hilt and they're all looking fine. And next thing you know, they get all this dust blown on them and their clothes are all torn to hell. Now, here, get this part. Remember I said the Easter Bunny was supposed to drop all these flowers down, right?
Right.
Well, lo and behold, apparently the Easter Bunny was kind of dumb at the time because the night before they froze all these flowers. They froze them so that they would be fresh and look good when they dropped down onto the park.
Oh, God.
Well, apparently...
Oh, God.
Apparently, they didn't thaw them out, and they were throwing frozen flowers down onto the crowd. And it is explained, somebody later said it is just like paintballs. They came down like paintballs.
Oh, my God.
And they were causing concussions. They were ruining people's Sunday best clothes, dyeing them. And it was bad. It was bad. And people were ducking and running and trying to get away. And the whole time, the guy never stopped. He just kept throwing thousands and thousands of flowers out of this helicopter. Frozen ones.
that would make an amazing Alfred Hitchcock movie right there.
I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, is this real? Like, is this a real story?
That's apparently what I'm wondering.
Apparently, it really is. Apparently.
Who signed off on all this? Like... There had to be somebody going, you know what? It's not a good idea.
You'd think, but I mean, can you imagine the stories that people are telling from being there on day one? And that's just day one. That's day one for Disney.
there's thousands of people that are horrified of Easter now because of Disney.
Yeah.
Granted, yeah, they're probably in their 80s now, but still.
Well, 55, you know, they might have went there as a kid. So they could be in their, 60s, 70s, you know.
Horrified for life.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. My mom, I think she was born in 53. She passed away last year, just over a year ago, and she was 66. I'd have to do the math if 53 is right or not, but either way, she could have went as a young kid. Hell, I took one of my daughters there. Well, took them both, but one was only three. Haley was only 3 years old when she went to Disney. She says she still remembers it, but how much can you really remember when you're three?
Did they throw ice flowers at her?
They did not. No, yeah. We didn't. So they've stopped that. Yeah, yeah. Apparently, they put an end to that. Yeah.
I was reading about, like, because somebody in one of my lives said that there's never any deaths on Disneyland property. So I looked into that, and there actually is some deaths, some pretty gruesome deaths, actually.
Yeah, there is. It's
people working there.
Yeah.
The best one I read, it wasn't a death, but they were trying to get this guy out of one of the rides real quick, and he had a fake, not a fake leg, a prosthetic leg. And it got caught in the ride. So when it took off, it took his leg with it. So you can imagine all the people in line just seeing this dude's leg get ripped off, like right in front of him. They had an issue there trying to get people to ride it after that for a minute.
Did they say what ride or when it happened?
Oh, they did. I can't remember. Something with a rocket. If y'all have been there, let me know.
A rocket. I don't think I know of a ride with a rocket.
Yeah, because they said it kept this. The rockets had to take off at. Must have looked like a rocket. I'm guessing like a roller coaster thing. Hmm. It was timed where each rocket had to take off at a certain time or the whole ride would shut down. And this guy with the prosthetic leg, back in those days, you had to push a button to bend it. So he was taking a long time. So the Disney guy just grabbed the dude and yanked him out of the ride. And his leg got caught right when it takes off and just takes the prosthetic leg with it.
Oh, it's just the prosthetic leg got tore off? Oh, here I thought it was some dude's live leg with blood squirting out.
No, that's what the people in line thought, too. You know, nobody wanted to get on the ride then.
That's kind of funny.
I read about a girl that worked on some stage that rotated.
Mm-hmm.
And she got smashed in it. Like, she worked for Disney, and she would talk on the microphone, I think it said, and she leaned out too far when it spun and, like, crushed her between the wall and the stage.
Oh, all right. I actually know a lot about that story, actually.
Oh, well, tell me more.
Yeah, that one here, jumping around a little bit, but I know that story. I know that story. I got a lot of details about that story. I think, if I remember right, I think her name was Debbie. That story takes place in 1974. Disneyland opened up a new attraction. It was a singing animatronic. They call it a Vaudeville show.
So it's like Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Kind of. And it had like one room in the middle that was stationary where everybody, I believe that's where everybody sat. Well, here it said it was, and it had a bunch of rooms around it in a giant circle. Okay. Let me see. I got it right here. It had six rooms surrounding one of those. I have a picture of it right here, so you can kind of picture what I'm talking about. It says each stage was a 3-minute act, and the theater would black out every time the theater rotated. But it looked like this. If you can, let me see if I can get it to.
Yeah, I think I've seen that picture when you sent them to me.
See that? It was one room in the center and six around it, and all the rooms outside would rotate, but the inside would stay put. Okay. So that was, her. Mm-hmm. So let me go back up and I'll tell you exactly what happened. So yeah, it was a carousel theater, rotating theater of six stages. July 8th, 1974, 2 weeks after it opened. Guests were startled by a girl's horrific scream, but being that it was during the blackness and during the show, everybody thought it was part of the show. Oh. So nobody reacted to it. I actually have a recording of her scream just that I can play.
Oh, that's horrifying.
Yeah, it is horrifying. This scream, just let me finish the story and then we'll talk about that. Deborah Stone, she was 18 years old. Deborah Stone was a student employed who served as a hostess for the attraction. 2 weeks into the job, she must have started on day one. She was in the wrong place at the theater. She stood too closely to the area between the revolving theater wall and the non-moving stage wall. The carousel was a powerful contraption used to moving the theaters with over 100 people. So it was really strong motors that were turning this building. And it says it crushed Deborah effortlessly. Yeah. What's weird is I just mentioned my mom, and Deborah's my mom's name, but she didn't get crushed in the carousel. Employers, get this, Ray. Employers didn't even notice what happened until hours later when they found Deborah's splattered and dismembered mess of a body. Well, that's pretty descriptive.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? They only closed the show for 2 days after they found her body to clean up, and they opened it back up. 2 days.
I don't even know what to say.
If that happened today, that would have been permanent shutdown, don't you think?
I mean, I would guess so. It seems like that's what happens when rides go bad, except for roller coasters. They seem to survive that.
But anyway, it's pretty amazing. If you see the video on YouTube, you get to watch the whole thing. I don't feel right about showing the actual video. So if you want, you can look it up.
There's actually a video of it?
Yeah, there's somebody was there, and they had a camera. Like, it must have been like old video camera, and you know, one of those VHS that they put on their shoulder or something, and they brought it in, and you see people walking in, and then the music starts, and then somebody comes out, yap yap yap, and they got some characters going, and then all of a sudden the lights go out, because every time the scene ends and they rotate, the lights would go out, which is kind of a red flag safety issue right there. But the lights would go out, and then the lights are supposed to come back on when it's done rotating and it goes to the next scene. Well, during the blackness is when everybody heard Deborah's scream from being crushed.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah, definitely. And not all the stories are from way back then. Some of them, I got one from 1987 I always heard about all the kids that are supposedly kidnapped from there.
Like 200 a year.
Yeah, it says the 200. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's see.
I'm a big kid. That's why I don't go. I don't want to get kidnapped.
Yeah, apparently there was this family who had a 16-year-old son. And they sent him out to the parking lot to get the car to bring up to the front so that the whole family didn't have to walk way out to the boondocks of the parking lot. And while he was out there, he got snatched up by two guys. He got kidnapped. And of course, Disney, they denied everything until they got caught the next day. The guys got caught the next day. I don't know where they found them or what, but they did find them, and they arrested the two the following day. Apparently back then they weren't too good at hiding.
Doesn't sound like it.
No. But that's when, back in 1987, is when all the kidnapping rumors started with Disney, according to the sources that I found. That's when they started leaking that reportedly over 200 kids have already been taken. Here's another one from that same time period, right around that time, around in the 80s. Story of a mother and her son. She was walking her son in a stroller, and this lady came out of the blue, but she was covered up, apparently. Came up and stole her kid when she wasn't paying attention. You know, she must have been looking away for a few seconds or something. Snatched the kid out, walked away, and then she started looking around frantically, and she couldn't find her kid. Well, come to find out, like a little while later, she started walking towards the gate, and she saw a lady with a kid about her son's size wrapped up in a big blanket. And she noticed that the kid had one foot sticking out of the blanket, And it had, they had the same shoe that her son had when he went missing. Because obviously she's a mom of a 2-year-old. She knows what kind of shoes he's wearing.
Right.
So she walked up to him, to her, like, and just kind of grabbed her arm a little bit and saw that it was her kid and tore it away from her. I'm trying to see what happened after that. Master missing son. Come to find out when she found her son in that lady's arms, the lady had put a fake red wig on her, on the kid, to try to disguise him as she was trying to ask to take him out of the park.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she got caught.
She did.
I'm gonna whoop some butt.
Oh, it says here, Disney still denies that it ever happened, even though the guys were arrested off site. They were claiming that she was never at Disney.
Of course not.
And they're also, Disney also denies that any kids go missing from Disney Park.
The estimates I've seen were about 200, and they're saying like 2,000 kids each year get abducted at amusement parks all across the nation.
All Disney parks. Just Disney parks.
Just Disney. See, I just said amusement parks.
Oh, I thought it was just Disney parks, but you could be right.
The 200 was just Disney. The 2,000 was all amusement parks.
Did you ever hear about the ghost that watches the fireworks there?
A ghost that watches fire. I mean, that's what I'm going to do if I'm a ghost.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a ghost that watches the fireworks there.
And people, I'm guessing, see this thing or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I know we talked about this in a different live the other day, but, and this is probably the most looked up story from Disney that I've heard it a couple times already about the lady who, it's about the whole family that goes missing. Do you know which story I'm talking about?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to break it down in a nutshell. It was a lady who worked for Disney. She didn't like her job because it was so hot. She was working outside. She asked to move, to get moved inside to air conditioning. So they did. They put her in a hotel. Well, and she says, yeah, it was great, except she had to deal with a lot of husband-wife fights during the hotel, which is to be, you know, there's a lot of stress when there's expensive vacation, you know, so I get it. But apparently this family went missing. I forget exactly how they found out that they were missing, but they did find their room 5 days after they checked in, and it was, had all their stuff still in it.
It's gone.
And yeah, this employee decided to take it upon herself to go, because they have a way of checking which rides you go on and stuff. They have like this bracelet. I believe it's called, I forget what it's called, Fast Pass, I think. It's a black bracelet. It's like a watch, kind of. More like a tracking device, you know.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, but you can buy your meals with it, you know, all sorts of things. And come to find out, the employee went to the last ride that they went on. Do you remember what the last ride was?
It's a small world after all.
Yes, it's a small world. And they said that's the last ride that they went on. So she went, and now keep in mind, she didn't know anything except that was the last ride they went on. That's all she knew. She went and looked on the ride, walked through the ride. They shut it down. They shut the whole ride down. Her and a couple of her friends who were employees there went and looked everything, and they didn't see anything. They didn't find anybody. Well, come to find out later on, after some digging, they found out that the family purchased a meal like on their second day at 11 o'clock. They purchased like a breakfast at 11 o'clock. And then they purchased one ticket for that ride. It's a small world. And then that was it. Then nothing. So that's how they knew that she went on. They all went on that ride. They went and shut it down. They went and looked at it, didn't find anything. Well, she got frustrated. So she went out to the parking lot because she had the info for their parking. So she went out there, said it didn't take very long, and she found their car. Their car was still there. So then she's like, well, what the hell's going on here? Then she started freaking out. And she goes back And she does a whole bunch more digging. And she says after a while, she found out that the company, or that the family actually purchased, I forget what it's called, something, a photo memories or something like that. And what it is they have photographers all over the park, and you go up and you swipe your key or whatever, or somehow they take your picture and it all goes into a file, and it all gets all that you must show your bracelet, I'm assuming. And they take your family photo and they put it in a collage for you when you're done. You know, you purchase this pack and they put it all together. Well, this family had that. So she looked up all the pictures, and she said the first 40 some pictures were normal. First 30, 40 pictures were normal, you know, just taken throughout the park that a normal family would take. But once they started taking pictures in the ride, because I guess they take a picture when you go into It's a Small World, then they went around a couple times and they were pretty happy. And then the following picture is the guy like getting angry, screaming. And then the next one is the guy screaming and the mom is holding the kids. And then a few pictures later, the husband is passed out. Like he's hanging down. Like he's like, that's it. Like almost like he's dead. And then the mom is still holding on to the kids, and the kids look freaked out. They are freaked. And this goes on and on, and like it just escalates. There's less kids, and then it's just her. And then all of a sudden there's nobody on it. Right. There's nobody. One of the pictures, there's nobody on the car that they're in. And then the very next picture, they're all back again, and it starts the whole process over. And occasionally some of the pictures that she found, some of the animatronics were in different places than what they should be. And even in one picture, she states that one of the animals or people were actually in the car with the family. But here's the thing. It takes one picture every time you ride it. And she says on that account, there's over 740 pictures.
Where are
now, pictures? I don't know. They were on some sort of database, but this chick was freaking out. It's hard to say whether I believe it or not. It sounds like a writer came up with this because it's really good. Almost too good to be true, you know? Right. Almost too good to be true. You know
what it sounds like, right?
What's that?
It sounds like some bullshit.
I knew you were going to say that. But yeah. here's what got me wondering. It said that the file, before she quit her job, she went and looked at the file size one more time, and she said that it was constantly getting bigger. So there's more pictures being taken. So that means that the family is still on that ride today, still going around, still going through that loop. I mean, that is terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrifying if that was a true story.
I'm not saying it is, but it is a hell of a story.
Oh, it's a great story.
If it's true, it's even scarier.
A good little Tales from the Crypt type show. I'd watch it.
Alfred Hitchcock,
whatever.
Yeah.
I'd watch it. I mean, it's terrifying, but like, where's the proof? Show some proof.
Everybody's scared to come with proof because apparently all the stories, they all end with people are terrified of Disney, of being taken out if they start talking.
I mean, I can believe that, honestly.
So that's the story that almost every single one of them has. You know, there's been all sorts of crazy deaths that in my mind, would definitely cause somebody to possibly be haunted. You know what I mean? Do you want to hear a couple more?
Go for it.
All right. Marcelo Torres was 22 years old. This happened in 2003.
Decently recent.
Yeah. So what, 20 years ago or so? A little over? Marcelo Torres, 22 years old, bled to death riding Thunder Mountain. His train car separated off the track when going into a tunnel.
Oh, my God.
Back in 1964. What's that?
I said, check your rides, Disney.
Right.
How does something come detached?
I don't know. It just says it was going into a tunnel. Car got detached. I don't know if it hit like a brick wall or if it ran into a crowd. I'm not exactly sure, but they said it was his car. So
that's horrible.
Yeah. And that was on Thunder Mountain.
I don't know what none of these rides are.
I believe it isn't Thunder Mountain. Isn't that some sort of a roller coaster? I don't know. But anyway, they got another one. Mark Maples. I was only 15 years old when he died on the Matterhorn.
What is the Matterhorn?
It's another one that goes through tunnels. It's like a ride that goes through tunnels. You'll get it in a second. He took off his seatbelt and tried to stand up at the peak. So it's kind of like a roller coaster that goes through like underground. I guess
signs everywhere that says keep your hands and feet in the ride at all times.
It says he was thrown out of the sled and crushed his skull when he landed on the track below.
Ouch.
And there are stories of him actually haunting that ride today.
I wouldn't doubt it.
20 years later, here more recently, 1984, Dolly Young, who was 48 years old, was also killed on the Matterhorn. She was thrown out of her car, thrown out from her seat, and landed on the path of an oncoming bobsled.
Oh, God.
Yeah. They found her body under the bobsled. Her feet were sticking out, kind of like the Wicked Witch of the West under the house.
Oh, God.
that's gross. They had to take apart the track in order to remove her flattened body. Wow. Oh, that's a God. Damn shame. Jesus. Yikes. Okay. All right. Well,
you're making me not ever want to go to Disney World.
I'm telling you, these are like the worst of the worst. It's like, Jesus. 1973, two boys from Brooklyn. Bogdan DeLoret was 18 years old and his younger 10-year-old brother. They were on the Tom Sawyer's Island. They were on the past the duck closing time. So the ducks are what they call the car boat, the truck boats that they use to run them back and forth.
All right.
And they were there past dusk, which means they couldn't get a ride back. So they must have missed the last one and they were stuck on the island.
Well, that's their own fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Not wanting to get in trouble, they decided to swim across the man-made river to get back to the park. Well, it says here that I guess they didn't realize that man-made rivers aren't made for swimming. They refer to the scene from Willy Wonka where the boy fell into the chocolate river.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And they said it's a lot like that. Something kind of like that happened to one of the boys. The younger brother was saved, but the older brother drowned. It took park employees, firemen, and the Anaheim police 8 hours to find his body. Yeah, the turbine produced water flow and fake rapids had carried his body till it was caught by the rocks. Damn, so
big was this river?
I can show you a picture, actually. Actually, I sent you. Did you get that picture?
I'd have to look on my phone. Well, how wide is it?
It looks like that. Did you get it? You got that one?
Yeah, but it don't tell me how wide it is.
Oh, it doesn't tell me how wide it is. I don't know. It doesn't look that wide.
I don't know. Could they just not swim? Was that the problem?
I don't know. It's probably, well, if you look at it, like, you got to remember, it was dark. You know, all the lights are off. There's not supposed to be anybody there.
All right.
I don't know. If judging by the size of the people versus the water, I would say it's about 100 yards across, maybe 75 to 100 yards across.
It looks swimmable.
If you can see and you swim straight.
But I've never been there, obviously, but I'm assuming it's going to be lit up by the city lights around it, wouldn't it?
Well, even the moonlight. I mean, California. I mean, California has moonlights, right? I mean, I know they have smog and stuff, but you should still be able to see moonlight.
I would hope so. I don't know.
I would think. I've never been to California, so I don't know.
Me neither. We need to go. Do you think the Disney Corporation is part of the Illuminati? I mean, they do own a lot of different networks.
I mean, I think you could be, I think the one, all the one percenters are part of the Illuminati, but I mean, you know me, I buy into a lot of that conspiracy theorist stuff, but I definitely think there's a lot of people who have less money than the Disney family that are in Illuminati. you know what I mean?
If you look at what Disney owns, it's like ESPN. What is it? Do they own ABC or NBC? One of the two.
It's crazy.
Like, they control a lot of our media, and their movies are actually horrifying if you know what most of their movies are really about.
I can see that.
Always mama's dying in them.
Yep.
Like, I learned a lot of life lessons from watching Disney.
They had a ride called the People Mover. You know anything about that one?
I've never even heard of that. What's a People Mover?
It's basically an elevated track that runs around the park, and it's got like these little rail cars, but they didn't have any sides on them. They were open. They were kind of like, you know, those little round things that spin around that ride, the teacups.
I gotcha.
Okay. Picture the teacups with a hood. They kind of look like a golf cart with a flat roof. Let me see if I got.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Let's see. So anyways, they had that going around the whole park. And let's see. It was a buggy-like train attraction that on an elevated track that circled the park at a very slow pace. And it was in service from 1967 to 1995. So it was fairly recent, you know. Here's one of their ads. Of what they look like.
All right. It looks okay. Like Jetsons.
It does remind me of the Jetsons. Yeah, for sure. So, seemed like a non-threatening ride, and not to mention was very, very slow moving, which made people feel safe.
Right.
Yet two teenagers, managed to find a way to actually kill themselves on it. Or right. Get themselves killed. They didn't kill themselves. Were
they leaning out of it?
Well, 17-year-old Rick Lee Yama was killed by, they were playing a game where they would jump from one car to another. Okay. They would switch buggies while it was moving.
Yeah. That mm-hmm. didn't end well.
But what they didn't realize was these cars didn't have engines. Like, they didn't run by an engine. The engine was the track. The track was powering it. It was basically under electric power.
I got you. So they jump on the front or something. And
it says, so what happens when a person falls out of the buggy? Death. Yeah. Getting ran over and crushed to death. Now imagine this. You get ran over and crushed to death by something that goes 2 miles an hour.
That's some hours type shit there.
That is a slow, crushing nightmare. Like, you know it's happening.
That dude just laid on the ground going, for like 10 seconds.
Yeah, you know it's happening. That's horrible. And get this. And later, they added to this ride, and they call it the super, they add a super speed tunnel.
Oh.
Yeah, you can kind of see where this is going already. Okay, it was grad night, 1980. Gerardo Gonzalez, 18. Also was killed on the People Mover by attempting to switch buggies. What is with these people? Why do they not know?
It's a teenage thing, apparently. I never did.
I've done dumb shit when I was a teenager too, but
yeah, but when the sign says keep your hands and feet and your head inside, you do that.
Well, right, exactly.
That's just a rule.
This time he was not only ran over, but this guy's body was dragged by the super speed cars a few hundred feet.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's known as being so innocent yet so deadly. Oh, here's an actual picture of the cars. Let's see if I can get it without those are what the cars actually look like.
I mean, it doesn't look like it's that far of a jump. I think I could have.
That's a low part. It's not the fall that killed him.
I could have jumped from one to the other. It don't look that far apart.
Oh, you mean from one car to another? Yeah. Yeah. It only looks like a couple feet, you know, two, three. Two of them look like they're real close. And then the other ones look like they're a little bit further apart for some reason. But now there was another guy. And the reason I'm telling you about all these deaths, and I know we're paranormal people, but every one that I'm telling you about, there's stories that continue today about spirits and ghosts that are seen and heard on these rides.
That makes sense. So
all these rides that I'm telling you about, they all get haunted. They're all claimed to be haunted. Anyway, people claim they're haunted. And a lot of it comes from the people that work there.
You know what my favorite story was?
What's that?
They have this technology called the Smellitzer. And they purposely pump different scents in different parts of the park. Mm-hmm. They said, like, if you're in the, I don't remember what they called it, some kitchen area, you smell cookies. When you're in that mountain, or the haunted place, it's kind of a musty smell. During the holidays, they might throw some pumpkin smell out or some cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I did not realize they had studied people down to that kind of science.
You know who else has that, don't you?
Who?
Zach Bagans. His haunted museum has that.
Are you serious?
I 100%. He's got a
know what he's got there.
He's got a circus room that smells like cotton candy.
Oh, well, that's
he's cool. He's got a gangster room that smells like cigars. I can't remember what else. Oh, and he's got, you know where he's got Ed Gein's the cauldron from Ed Gein where he cooked everything up.
Right.
Where he cooked his recipes. Yeah, he's got that there. I mean, he's got it in a barn room. And he had, obviously, I mean, this is in the middle of Las Vegas. You'd be pretty hard pressed to get a room to smell like a barn, but right. His does. It smells exactly like hay and everything else you smell in a barn.
That's crazy. I didn't know that people were using technology like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I knew they did it in movie theaters with the popcorn going through the vents. A lot of restaurants like to blow their scent outside, but for an amusement park to get that specific about different smells, I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm. The monorail track that runs around the park is also haunted. A monorail is a little faster train.
Right.
That's also said to be haunted by a ghost of a man named Thomas Cleveland, who was 18 at the time, and he tried to get into the park for free.
Oh, Thomas.
He thought he could do it by climbing on the monorail track and walking the track to get Thomas. To where he had to go. Well, he's walking on the track, and suddenly two security guards started yelling towards him because they saw him, and they were yelling towards him. And he thought, oh, shit, I'm going to get busted. So he started taking off down the track in the other direction. And it didn't work out so good for him.
He should have watched Stand By Me.
The security guards were actually trying to warn him of the oncoming train.
Oh, I'm sure.
He tried jumping. He tried to jump off the track, but at the last minute, he was torn apart by the force of dragging down on the track. And I don't know exactly what that means, but long story short, he didn't make it. He didn't make it. Yeah. And
this
it's
how that, the Darwin Awards got started.
There's all sorts of just hauntings all over the place in that park. I don't know.
Let you investigate.
I don't think there's any place in that park that isn't haunted. I mean, there's stories about almost every ride there and how they claim that it's nothing. You know, it's like that. It's mind blowing.
I've seen people be spreading the ashes of loved ones all over the parks.
Oh, I have that story. I know that story too.
Guys, come on.
Yeah. You know why? It all started with the mom who had a young son who passed away. But before he passed away, she brought him to the park. And this was his life's dream, according to his mother. His life's dream was to be a ghost at the Haunted Mansion.
I mean,
he wanted to live there.
Aim high, little guy.
Yeah. He wanted to be a ghost. He told his mom he wanted to be a ghost at the Haunted Mansion.
Just put his ashes there.
Don't get ahead of me. She tried.
Oh, she wasn't successful?
No. Security kicked her out several times until she finally snuck in there when the ride itself was closed. The park was open, but the ride was closed. And she snuck in there and then finally spread the ashes around. Now, but after she did that, employees and everybody, they see a young boy in the haunted mansion. Here's the kicker. He's by the door and he's crying.
What was he crying for?
Which means to me, he did not want to be a ghost at the haunted mansion.
I mean, that's what he told his mom.
According to her.
Oh, you think she lied?
I don't know if she lied or maybe he even, I don't think she would lie, but I don't think she would go to that extent to do it if he didn't ask for it. But it sounds to me that the boy definitely regrets it if he did. It's sad.
Could you imagine being on a roller coaster and the person in front of you decides, this is where I'm going to dump Papa's ashes?
Right all over in your face?
Oh, man. It's in my mouth.
I hope they're in a car behind you. You don't want them in the car in front of you, that's for damn sure.
Well, I'm saying, imagine being behind that and it's just gray powder.
People in California consider, according to this, my sources, people in California, they consider Disneyland to be the most haunted place in California.
In all of California?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive. I mean.
And it's coming from not only guests that go there, but the people that work there and other people that have just random people that have gone there, including podcasters and all sorts of other people. So it's kind of like a gathering of people.
We're going to have to take a trip.
Right? I don't know if I want to go to Disneyland. Well, of course, if we go to California, we could head out to Alcatraz while we're there.
I wouldn't mind that.
I wouldn't mind that either. It's on a bucket list. Let's see. Oh. Okay, well, we all know, we've heard stories about Walt Disney haunting his parks, which only makes sense to me. Like, if I was Walt Disney, of course, isn't Walt Disney frozen?
That is an untrue rumor.
That is untrue?
That is what I could find.
Well, I don't know. I've always heard that he's like cryogenically frozen.
That's a big rumor out there. I've seen that a billion times, but getting down into it, it seems like he was cremated and his ashes are in some area.
Oh.
The first guy to get frozen happened a few weeks after his death, coincidentally.
We'll have JC look it up.
Right. JC, get on that.
Get on that, JC. Let's see. So, but he's said to haunt that place, and I kind of have the backstory as to how he first started haunting that place. And it's weird. Like, one of the first stories. First, he passed away. Yep. But apparently, when you go in, when you enter Disneyland, you walk under a train tracks. Just after that, on the left side of the street, there's the firehouse. When Walt Disney was alive, he had an apartment on the second floor of the building. He used that as a home base when they were building the park. So that's where he would stay. And he would stay there afterwards from time to time. But when he was there, I believe it was an oil lamp. He had an oil lamp. I don't know if it was oil lamp or just a lamp, but either way, he had a lamp that when he was there, he would turn the lamp on in the window to let everybody know that he was there. So if they needed anything or whatever, they could come and talk to him. And years later, years after that, one of the cleaning ladies was going up there and she noticed that the light was on when it wasn't supposed to be. So she turned it off and she walked all the way down. You know, keep in mind, this was on the second floor. She walked all the way down to the street, started walking away, took a last look back up there and saw that the damn light was back on again. So she just sighed and she's like, damn it. So she goes back upstairs and she clicks the light on. And this happens twice. She gets all the way back down to the street, looks back up to make sure everything's good. And the light's back on again. So she goes back up a third time. This time she turns it off and she just steps back. She doesn't leave the room. And it turns on again right in front of her.
It's a sign you got a ghost.
Apparently, she didn't have any cat balls handy.
Yeah, and they think it's Mr. Disney himself.
Yeah, it was his room, which is why she automatically
assumed. Very long after the park opened. It looked like 10 years. He died in, like, I want to say 67.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting. If you go past there, you'll see that light on today. Like, they keep it on all the time now. Yep. They keep that same light on all the time as a symbol that Walt Disney is still there at his park.
Who do you think we got to ask to see if we can investigate there?
Well, we can turn on our spirit box and try to ask Walt if you want.
See if we can get permission?
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to investigate inside the park, but I highly doubt they would let you.
There's so many miles of park, though. Where do you start?
At the beginning.
Oh, geez. It would take you six months. Take you 6 months to investigate that entire park. Longer than that, probably.
Hey, that sounds like a great time to me.
It's time consuming. We could do several podcasts from that place. I'll tell you what.
At the RVs, let's travel to California.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be the first to investigate Disney World. Disney World or Disneyland?
Which one? By the way, this podcast was not sponsored by Disney World or Disneyland.
No, and the opinions of Brandon's are his alone and not shared by me.
Well, feel free to share your, differences of opinion.
No, I think it's, like, I can't argue about the ghost and stuff, but I've enjoyed the other stories.
Yeah. Apparently, it's not only the lamp. It's left burning to symbolize Walt Disney's presence at his beloved Disneyland. To this day, cast members report footsteps and knocking coming from the fire station apartment, especially at night. So it's still active. So they are getting, I'm glad to hear that it's not cat balls and, apps and shit that the workers are using, that it's actually knocks and stuff like that. That means way more to me. But it's interesting whether it's true or not. There's shops down Main Street. They have a Main Street. This would make a lot more sense had you been there yet. But
oh, sure.
There's Main Street, and it's like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 cars wide, if you can picture the road. It's huge. It's big enough that they run big parades down every day.
I mean, I've probably seen it in videos.
I mean, they put on a hell of a fireworks show every night, every single night. It's amazing if you got a hotel that faces it.
We get our RVs, hit the Winchester Mansion, hit Disney World.
Oh, my stepdad's been to the Winchester house.
Oh, really?
And it pisses me off because, yeah, he's like, oh, man, the place is awesome. He's like, he was rubbing it in my face that he was there. He was like, this is so cool. You just should have been there, blah, blah, blah. And I'm, because he's got a sister that lives in California. His sister Diane lives out in California. So
I can definitely see an episode about the Winchester Mansion in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he rubbed it in, and I'd like to get out there. I would love to see it because I feel. Now, what's your thoughts on, I mean, I know we're getting off track, but just for a second, what are your thoughts on is she nuts, or is she actually talking to spirits and believing what they're telling her, that this, because those of you who don't know, the Winchester House is the widow of Mr. Winchester, who made all the Winchester rifles. And she had just more money. She had stupid money, just stupid money.
Ridiculous.
She had contractors there day in and day out, building stairways that go to the roof and doorways that go to nowhere.
Yeah, open up to a drop brick wall. Stories in some of the doorways.
Yeah, it's just crazy directions. It's so easy to get lost in that place. But anyway, so do you believe that? And the story is that she was being told by the spirits to do all these things. Like, they're telling her, you need a doorway here to get to this dimension, or doorway over here to get to that dimension, or something like that. To me, it's intriguing. And I don't know. What do you think, Ray? You tell me first, because you know how I feel about it, I'm sure.
I think we should definitely save that for a podcast. I think.
All right. So those of you listening, make sure you send Ray a message and tell him, hey, thanks for the build up and not giving us the conclusion. It's like telling a joke without the punchline.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
You know,
hey, I can't give away that kind of information just in a Disney podcast.
You know, get mad at him, not me. Okay. I tried to get it out of him. I tried to get it out of him. He doesn't want to do it.
Well, I've got opinions. I promise you that. Except two for that episode. Maybe we'll make it soon.
Maybe. Maybe we could do that. We could do it next, maybe.
We could. I mean, that's a possibility.
About the Winchester House. I think that'd be a good one because I'm intrigued by that. It's a great story.
Oh, it's a
great story.
I would love to go there. Like, in
a matter of fact,
I would go there.
She's the reason that Supernatural, the guys from Supernatural's last name is Winchester. She'd been in. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because the writer was a big fan of her and that story.
Like, she was doing this all because she was trying to escape all the spirits of people that have been killed by the rifle, the Winchester rifle.
Right, right.
And all this information was coming to her through a psychic.
Like, there you have it.
That's the part I have issue with.
I know.
But I would go there. I've seen a lot of investigations from there, and I mean, if there wasn't something there when she started, there's definitely something there when she left.
Okay, we got to get back on topic. We're talking about Disney World.
Oh, we're way past our hour.
Are we?
20
minutes. That's all right. We can keep going. I got more if you want to keep going.
I got basketball to watch. You forget what day.
You better keep this in so people know what's more important to you.
Hold on. Let me get it up close. It is Friday night of March Madness, day two, and I am in here doing a podcast because I love you all that much. Like, my wife hasn't even seen me for 2 days, and here I am doing a podcast with Brandon for you all.
Oh.
But I'm about to go watch some more basketball.
He's going to try to cut us off early. I'm trying to keep him as long as I can, guys. Early. I'm trying to keep him. Early in the morning.
An hour and 7 minutes longer than I planned on being on.
Huh. You got me singing already. Did you see that? Did you even notice that?
Oh, I heard it. I thought my ears start bleeding here.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Hey, what are friends for?
Anyways, what I was going to say is almost every place in Disney is haunted. There's stories from the stores, even the stores that stuff moves around at night. And while nobody's in there, the doors are locked, everything. And it's ice cream cars, food trucks are haunted. They hear a woman's voice around a lot of the one particular ice cream truck, apparently. Oh, and they even have their own lady in white, believe it or not.
Of course. Everybody.
Of course. Everybody does. That's like the most famous one, either the lady in white or the woman in white. And they're always dressed in old garb. Always.
And always involves throwing a child in something, river, out the window.
Well, according to this Disney story, it was just someone that died on the property in the early 1900s.
So not even involved with the park?
No, it was a guest, actually, a guest. And I'm real quick, I know you want to go, but I'm going to leave you guys with a teaser, okay? Yeah. Apparently, there's a story about a guy who was working there who was working security, and they had a code. And the code, anytime they see something that he couldn't explain, anytime he had to call in the certain code, the code was 999. So he would go on his walkie-talkie, and he would say, if he saw something weird, he would say 999, something that he couldn't explain. Well, one night, he saw Mickey Mouse walking down the street at almost 3 o'clock in the morning. And it was very out of place. The park is supposed to be pretty much dead. And he was in full costume, head on and everything. And it striked him as especially weird because most of the employees use the underground tunnels anyway. So why would he be full dressed walking down Main Street in the middle of the night?
I mean, well, maybe he went to the bar.
And that's just it. The guy ignored it for a little bit, and he's like, oh, maybe it's just a fluke, whatever. Well, next thing you know, here comes Goofy. Here comes Donald Duck. Here comes Daffy Duck.
All of them?
They're all coming separately, one by one. They're all coming, and not in a row, but sporadically. They're all showing up. So what this guy does is he goes and he's like, something weird's going on. He calls 999, doesn't get a response. No response back from his superior. So he grabs a suit and he dresses up as a character. I can't remember which one, but he goes and he follows this thing. And I'll make this real short. It's almost like they're having a cult meeting. He shows up and all these characters are around. And then way off in the distance, there's a table with his coworker that he's not the one he's supposed to be listening to, but one that he works with who's tied up like a sacrifice.
Oh, God, not Bob.
And he sees Mickey Mouse standing there and he's like walking around with a big knife, right? And his buddy that's laying on the table is all beat up. He's all beat to hell. Like he just went through the ringer. Somebody just kicked the hell out of him. And he's laying there and all of a sudden there's this girl that's not in a costume, sits next to him and looks at him and says, "You need to go run." So he gets up and apparently everybody vanishes and all that's there is him and Mickey. And Mickey doesn't have any eyes. It's hollow. It's like almost like a hollow suit that's walking. And he ends up, Mickey comes at him and he gets right up to his face. And then that's all the guy remembers. And he wakes up in his hotel room with coffee cup in his hand. And this coffee cup is a Mickey cup. And he's all wigged out now. And that's the end of the story.
That's, I know, one hell of a massive trip.
You believe every word of that. I know you do. That's every word.
I buy it all. I mean,
I know it. I mean, you want to talk outlandish story? That's the weirdest one I've heard, other than the family of four that went missing and is continuously writing.
That's the weirdest story I've ever heard.
That's the weirdest one.
It's Disney. Like, that's the weirdest shit I've ever heard.
I think I even saw it on TikTok, a version of it that I shared to you.
It must be true.
So you'll have to look in your messages that I sent you.
That's
because I think it might be in there.
Yeah, I haven't been on TikTok. I've been watching basketball.
I knew it. I figured it.
Where I'm going.
So, all right, we're going to end this podcast then. I suppose Ray's okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to end it. We're going to thank everybody for coming in. I appreciate it. My name is Brandon Kramer. This is Ray Wright. This is episode 6 of Paranormal Watchtower. We might do the Winchester house next?
I mean, it sounds good to me. I like that.
I mean, should we just go ahead and call it now? Give people a heads up.
Let's do it. Winchester.
All right, let's do it up next. So look forward to episode 7. Stay tuned for that. It's going to be the Winchester house. That's going to be a good one. There's lots of details to go over and lots of cool stories from that place. A lot of people have investigated there. Again, have a great night, everybody. Ray's going to go watch some basketball. We'll catch you next week. See ya.